All right, let's turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Today we're going to be looking at verses 6 through 8 and really looking at, as entitled to this message, a spiritual workout. Because we started and we looked at the last couple of weeks of just dealing with how the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some are going to depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I mean, again, Satan counterfeits everything that God does. He corrupts things that God does. And just as we have solid, good doctrine that we're going to talk about today in these verses, there's obviously false doctrine that is out there. And unfortunately, there will be believers in Christ, legitimate believers in Christ. They are heaven-bound, but they get seduced. They get led away. They get by the corrupted Word of God, in the sense of far as the corruption, as far as doctrine is concerned. And that's something that's happening. It's been happening and will continue to happen until the Lord calls us home, as far as the church is concerned, and that is unfortunate. But what we're going to see here today is really the first point and what it is to be a good minister. Paul is reminding Timothy that, hey, you need to put everybody in remembrance of these things. You need to have a warning about those things. And that's something that's interesting, that even when you think about driving, it's like you see a stop sign. Why is it red? It's a warning. If you don't heed this, then there can be some serious trouble that's coming your way, or a red light. Again, that idea of that color red is like, hey, danger, danger, danger. And it's like you're not just reminded one time. It's all the time that we're coming upon an intersection or something like that. For the most part, you have that warning. Well, Paul is going to be telling Timothy, hey, you're going to be a good minister if you remind everyone of these things. It's important because as humans, we tend to forget, or we tend to just be lax in the things that we need to be doing. And so a lot of the Word of God is actually repetition, and that's what we're going to see here as part of what it is to be a good minister. And we're going to see it's not just application as far as a pastor is concerned. As I've been talking about as we've been coming through 1 Timothy, it's about all of us believers in Christ. God wants all of us to be good ministers, as we're going to see here in verse 6. And then in verse 7 and 8, we're going to talk about godly exercise. And we'll compare some things as far as physical exercise with spiritual, because obviously it makes that comparison, or understanding which one is more profitable for you in this world. And so we'll spend some time and coming through this and is looking at what it is to have a spiritual workout. It's probably a good time for this. I mean, a lot of times at the beginning of the year, you know, people have their New Year's resolutions and, oh, I'm going to do better as far as what I'm eating and then working out and stuff like that. And usually that maybe lasts a couple of months, maybe, that sort of thing. And then you go back to the old habits. And, you know, I think it's good in the middle of the year, where we're at now in July, getting obviously starting the second half of our year. As a good reminder, not to talk about physical exercise and nutrition. Yes, I'm going to talk about that a little bit. But the importance of where we're at spiritually. You know, a lot of times, again, as Christians, we're like, beginning of the year, it's like, oh, I want to do this. I want to be better in my relationship and my walk with the Lord. And maybe it goes for a little bit, and then we just go right back into the old habit. It's good at this time to say, wait a minute, where am I at with that? And our vision this year, looking at being addicted to ministry, where am I at with that? Am I any more addicted to ministry here in July than what I was back in January? If not, why not? What do I need to do to be ready to minister the Word of God? So we're going to talk about that again today. So I'm going to have another quick word of prayer, and then we'll get started on what we need to see today. Father, again, I thank you for the day. I thank you for your Word. I simply pray this, that you would help me to be able to communicate what you have laid on my heart. Lord, that all of us would be edified, that all of us would be encouraged, that all of us would be convicted in the areas that we need to be convicted, so that we can improve and have a better walk with you to be used of you. I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's jump into this. Let's look at it in verse 6. It says this, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. And so when we look at the first part of this verse, again, just remembering what he's already talked about with Timothy and making sure that, hey, there's going to be a time coming, and it is, so where people are going to be led away. They're going to be falling away from the truth of the Word of God, falling away from strong doctrine. And you need to make sure that you are prepared for that and you are reminding the people in your congregation of these things. So it says, again, the beginning of verse 6, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister. I'm going to hold up there. So again, putting the brethren in remembrance, all right? It's like it is important to continually say these things. Just like I mentioned earlier, a lot of the Bible really is repetition. And one of the things I learned in, not just really in my study of martial arts, but in ministry as well, is the statement that repetition is the price of learning. All right? If you want to learn something, then the price you're going to have to pay is repetition, repeating something over and over and over again. That is a truth that is, no matter what profession or what you want to do, you get better at something when you continue to do that. It's like, how do I know how to punch without even thinking about it, or how to do some karate move without thinking about it? Because I've done it over and over and over again. I made it a consistent part of my life. When I was doing music, all right, and as a jazz percussionist, all right, why is it that I can preach to you right now and do a beat? Kind of a cool beat. I can talk to you, answer questions, anything like this, without even thinking about it. Well, why is that? Because it's been hours and hours and days of training my body how to do something like that, to where I don't even have to think about it. My body knows what to do. Well, in all honesty, it's like that's what it should be like for us as Christians, and knowing the Word of God so much that whenever a situation, whatever a circumstance happens, we just naturally, in a sense, respond, or I should say spiritually, in a sense, respond by what does the Word of God say, because we know it. We've internalized it. And how that happens is that, you know, you have leadership, and hopefully a pastor or a church is going to do what? Remind you of these things over and over again. I want you to turn back with me real quickly to the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, we're just going to look down in verse 17. You know, again, Corinth, as we know, we're having a lot of issues, a lot of problems. Paul wasn't able to be there at this particular moment. He writes a letter to them. But what he also does is send his son in the faith, Timothy, to be able to go to Corinth to do what? To remind them of the doctrine that is laid out by the gospel of grace from the Apostle Paul. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, it says this: "For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." There was no difference, there was no straying, there was no corruption, there was no his opinion or anything like that. The gospel of grace and the doctrine that Jesus Christ communicated to Paul is the same doctrine of grace that Paul was communicating to every church, not deviating it from at all. And guess what? Timothy was able to remind the Corinthians of the ways that Paul, and again his teachings, that were being laid out. Why? Because, again, what did Timothy do? He held on to these things himself. You know, as we're even seeing today, how Paul's encouraging Timothy, hey, put the brethren in remembrance of these things. I want you to go to 2 Timothy real quick, just to give you another reference in this. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and we're going to put, start in verse 11. So 2 Corinthians chapter 2 in verse 11, and we're going to read down through verse 15, which we're very familiar with around here. But in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11, it says this. Another example of, again, putting the brethren in remembrance of things, of the Word of God. It says this: "It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him." That's our salvation, accepting Christ as our Savior. In verse 12, it goes on, "If we suffer, we shall also reign with him." So again, as we live this life, a godly life, as we're going to be dealing with here, you're going to go through persecution, but the reward is being able to reign with him. To continue on in verse 12, it says this, "If we deny him, he also will deny us." Well, what's he going to deny us? Not our salvation. We're saved. We have eternal security. But he'll deny us the opportunity to reign with him. All right? Every believer in Christ that has accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, have a personal relationship, will be in heaven. They have salvation. But not every believer in Christ is going to rule and reign with Christ. That depends on living a godly life, something that we're going to be getting into today, and what we've already actually seen as well in chapter 3 and verse 16 of 1 Timothy. But anyhow, he goes on and says this in verse 13, "If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself." Even if a Christian gets to a place where they don't believe anymore, they become an atheist. Yes, and there's plenty of them out there that are legitimate Christians, but now they're atheists. They don't believe anymore, but yet God remains faithful. Jesus Christ remains faithful. He can't deny himself. He can't deny the very Spirit of God that's in that individual. Now, notice what it says in verse 14. It says, of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So everything that we just laid out from verse 11 through verse 13, Paul is telling Timothy, hey, put the brethren in remembrance of these things. You don't let them forget what's at stake here. Don't let them forget what is going to be profitable unto them at the judgment seat of Christ and have an opportunity to rule and reign with Christ. Continue to put them in remembrance. That's why probably you would, when you come to my messages, if you're going to boil down probably all my preaching and going through the Word of God, it's going to be about how you need to grow in your relationship with Christ to be able to learn, to be able to understand the Word of God, to be able to share it with others, to minister to others. Why? Because God wants to use you in eternity to be able to reign with Him. But that's not going to happen if you're not doing those things or growing in your relationship with the Lord. Why do my messages probably all boil down to that basic message? Because that's what Paul lays out over and over and over again in his writing, in the Word of God. From Romans to Philemon, you will see that over and over again, preparing for that time that we stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ, and if we don't have anything, any works that remains, then we're going to be denied. We're going to be denied ruling and reigning with Christ. It's so important, and there's no do-overs. Once you're dead, that's it. Whatever work you've done here on planet Earth as a believer in Christ, that's it. There's no do-overs at the judgment seat of Christ. And that's why it's such an urgent message that needs to happen over and over and over again. And that's what Paul is telling Timothy. I want you to go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and continue along in verse 6. It says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. That's why you want to be a good minister of Jesus Christ, all right? That's part of it. If you want to be considered a good minister in God's eyes, then you need to continue to remind the brethren of the truth of the Word of God, the doctrine laid out to us, all right? I don't know if I shared this before, but in Kansas City area where we used to live, actually it's in the city of Shawnee, Kansas, right next to where we lived in Merriam. I remember on Neiman Road, and it's still there today, I think, there's a car dealership, and the name of that car dealership is OK Used Cars. Now, if you're in a market for a car, and let's say, hey, there's no way I can afford a new car, I want to get a used car, would you probably go to the lot of OK Used Cars? I wouldn't. It's okay. It may get you home, may not. I don't know. Brakes, I think, work. You know, maybe a headlight works. Maybe I have to think. Okay, used car. I mean, it's already a used car. Sometimes you don't know the history of that used car, but then you're going to put okay in front of it? You probably don't want that. Well, do you want to be an okay minister of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or do you want to be a good one? And again, it's not just a matter of the pastor, all right, or the preacher or the deacon or whatever that is a good minister of Jesus Christ. If you have accepted Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, you are to be a minister of Jesus Christ. And the question is, are you going to be a good one or an okay one? And then there's a bad one. I guess okay is better than bad. But the Word of God says being a good one. And being a good minister means, I'll be honest with you, it's a matter of sacrificing and going through some suffering and living a godly life so that you're able to turn around and understand some things about what it is to have a relationship with the Lord and to be able to teach others. Because the reality of living on planet Earth that is under a curse, which is under sin, we are going to go through things basically just because we are on planet Earth. And then you add being a believer in Christ that you want to learn and grow in your relationship and to be able to reach others, you're definitely going to go through some tribulation. You're definitely going to go through some suffering. And God allows that to happen. Why? So you can grow in your relationship. You know, I have gotten to know my wife more and understand, and vice versa, when we have gone through things. It's not just a matter of when the times are good, and praise God when the times are good, But when there's some struggle and there's some tribulation or whatever, and it can bind you together even more so. All right? With that, well, I want you to understand this by going back to the book of Colossians, just probably a few pages back from 1 Timothy, and I want you to look at Colossians chapter 1. And I want you to see what Paul talks about in being made a minister. All right? If we want to be a good minister, if we want to minister the Word of God, if we want to really take heed to our vision this year of being addicted to ministry, that we have got to minister the truth of the Word of God to other people in the needs and the things that they're going to go through, that means we're going to go through some things. I want you to notice what Paul says. In Colossians chapter 1, we're going to pick it up in verse 22 and read, actually verse 23, and read down through verse 25. So Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 23. And the context is being blameless and unreprovable, really, in the God's sight at the judgment seat of Christ. How is that going to happen? Verse 23. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Remember the context of where we're at in 1 Timothy chapter 4, that there are people that are being moved away from the hope of the gospel. They're being led away by seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Well, if you want to be found blameless, unreprovable in God's sight at the judgment seat of Christ, then you need to continue in the faith, being grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. I think this is going to be the only two places that you see this phrase used by Paul, and maybe even all of the New Testament, about being made a minister. Jesus Christ talked to his disciples about, hey, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. It's a process. It's not going to be an automatic thing. You've got to learn some things, and Jesus Christ is going to make them to become fishers of men. How are you going to reach people? Evangelism. All right? And then you see where Paul is talking about, he was made a minister. Well, how was Paul made a minister? Well, let's look at the next verse. In verse 24, it says this, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ, in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church. Now, there's a lot going on in that verse. An understanding that, really, that God used the Apostle Paul to communicate, he's the Apostle of the Gentiles, this dispensation, this doctrine of the gospel of grace to us, and he went through afflictions and suffering, just like Jesus Christ went through afflictions and suffering, for us to understand this truth. How was Paul made a minister? Was going through these sufferings and standing on the truth of the Word of God. And he goes on in verse 25 and goes on and says again, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the Word of God. Now I find it interesting, it's like bookends as far as verse 23 and verse 25, and what's in between is verse 24 that talks about going through some afflictions and some sufferings. Being made a minister. You want to be a good minister. Again, I'm not standing up here and wishing, oh, you know what? It would just thrill my soul today, Lord, if you just afflict me. Give it to me. Give it all you got. I'm not that silly to pray that. But the reality is, if I'm going to live godly according to the Word of God, there is some sufferings and some trials that I am going to go through. As believers in Christ, you want to really grow in your walk and relationship with the Lord. You got to get beyond just being satisfied with salvation and maybe listening to a message and reading your Bible some, praying some, and that's all your Christianity is going to do. I mean, you really want to grow in your walk with the Lord to be used of Him in the lives of other people. You are going to go through some things. But that is the process that God uses to make you, to mold you, to be a minister, so that when you sit down with somebody else that's going through some problems, you know you have the faith with confidence and authority. You can say, you know what? Jesus Christ can get you through this. Let me share with you from the Word of God how He helped me in situations. He can help you in this situation. Sometimes we want the glory without the suffering. We want the reward and everything like that without going through it. It's kind of like the saying a lot of times in this. these newer generations that come up, they want the nice fancy house, they want to have all the vacations, they want to have all the nice toys and trinkets and all this other stuff right then and there. Not realizing usually your parents, they're in the place that they are today at the, come in the latter years of their life because of a whole host of years of the struggle and not being able to afford a lot and that sort of thing. And I'm talking about normal Americans. I'm not talking about the rich and all that. I'm talking about common people that make it to, good middle class living, that sort of thing. A lot of times, they struggle. They sacrifice to be able to get that, but we have generations now that just want it all right now. Well, you know what? Spiritually speaking, we have a lot of Christians. They want the glory and the reigning with Christ, but they don't want to put in the work to get there. And unfortunately, there's a lot of pastors that are not good ministers and basically just saying, hey, you accept Jesus Christ, you're Lord and Savior, and you're saved, you're heaven, gone by, and you'll be ruling and reigning with Christ and never deal with what's actually laid out in the Word of God. I mean, you read it. Suffer with Him, reign with Him. Deny Him, denies you to be able to reign. The Word of God is still the Word of God, is still true. And I'm not saying it's a doom and gloom message, but it's a matter of reality. Being made a minister, allowing God to take the things that are going in your life to one, strengthen your walk in relationship with the Lord, as well you're able to turn around and be able to minister to somebody else. That's what it is to be a good minister. I want you to go back because we've got a lot to cover. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, continuing on. 1 Timothy chapter 4, again in verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Nourished up. I mean, when you think about nourishment, what do you think about? Food! That's food supposed to nourish you, to give you the nutrition that you need to be able to have your body to function. And so again, God, as He often does, will take something that is physical, something that we understand, something that we deal with on a daily basis that teach us spiritual truth. So if I'm supposed to have good food physically nourishing me up physically, well, guess what? I need the same thing spiritually. It's not gonna be too healthy if I'm going and just eating candy bars and talk about the food chart, I used to love Fruit Loops. Talk about cereal being up there on the food chart that's supposed to be healthy. How is sugar coated Fruit Loops gonna be healthy for me? It's not. I'm probably not gonna do too well by doing that. You know what? I want you to have a nice glass of water to drink. No, I think I'll take some Coca-Cola. I love Coca-Cola. But what, is that going to be healthy for me? Is that going to be good for me? Is that going to make me a good minister? Spiritually speaking. He says, Paul saying to Timothy, if you do these things, how's he going to be nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine? We know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You need that word, the words of faith and good doctrine. Don't forget the context of this chapter. What's going on? People are being led away by what? Seducing spirits and what? Doctrines of devils. That's not going to nourish you. It's going to do completely the opposite. Be nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine. That's why the Word of God is compared to food in the Bible. It's compared to milk. It's compared to meat. It's compared to honey. It's compared to bread. It's compared to water. All right? It's compared to really corn, veggies as well. I know the corn is a starch. If my Bible says it's a veggie, it's a veggie. All right? That sort of thing. All right? Anyhow, it's like the Word of God is compared to what? Good nutritional things that's going to help you. And being nourished up, and again, you got to think about this. Think about this for a second. Man, this is awesome. Because Timothy, he's pastoring a church. He's already met the qualifications that we've already seen in chapter 3. Paul is using him in other churches. We've already saw that even in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. But what's Paul telling Timothy to still do? Being nourished up. Continuing to grow. Think about it physically. Do you eat one meal or for your life and that's it? What happens if you only had one meal for your life? You'd be dead. You won't make it to out of being a newborn baby. That'll be it. One meal, that's it. Some milk, that's it, done. No, no. You're not going to be nourished and growing up with just having one meal. It's a continuing life process that takes place. Alright? And just like us today, physically, we still eat. How many times do you ever eat? Whether it's one, two, three, whatever, six times, small meals, whatever you do, I mean, it's a daily thing that happens. Well, don't you think daily means that needs to happen spiritually? Being nourished up, how am I going to be a good minister if I'm not being nourished by the words of faith and good doctrine of the Word of God? And that's exactly what Paul is continuing to tell Timothy. I want to give you one more reference before we move on from here, and that's actually going to 2 Timothy chapter 3. That's the next book over. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to pick it up in verse 14 and read down through the end of the chapter, because I think this is a good passage that really lays out what Paul's talking about, being nourished up in the words of faith and the good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. All right, because you see that process happen in Timothy's life, and it was continuing to happen, and that's the same thing that needs to happen to us. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 14, it says this. Notice, but continue. That word's come up a couple times already today, right? You can't stop. You got to continue on. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, which is Paul, his father in the ministry, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You see that process of going from a child to a man that is ready to be used of God in ministry. And how did that process happen? Knowing the Scriptures. From a child that has known the Scriptures. And made you wise in the salvation. You picked, you chose Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, but you didn't stop there. You continued to get nourished in the Word of God. You continued to understand the doctrine and the reproof and the correction and instruction of righteousness so that you are perfect, defined as thoroughly furnished, equipped to be able to minister the truth of the Word of God. Folks, there's no way you're going to be a good minister if you don't allow God to feed you. We have too many 2-year-old baby toddler Christians are even younger than that. When you're trying to give them the nutrition that they need, they're like, no, and you got the food all over the place. I remember a time I used to babysit our neighbor's kid. His name was Jeffrey. You know, it was my little teenager job that I had. It was just across, literally our neighbors. And I remember one time, I was going over there getting ready to take care of him as mom and dad were getting ready to go out. And Jeffrey there, the meal for the night was spaghetti. There was more spaghetti on Jeffrey than in Jeffrey. I mean, it was just all over the place. It was like, I'm not having kids if this is what's going to be. I mean, it was just, but that's what we're like spiritually. God wants to feed us the nutrition that comes from the Word of God, and we're like, no more. I don't want it. I can't handle it. I don't want it. But if we gave the Jeffrey Christians in the world a candy bar, folks, that's what we do. And we wonder why our lives are not fulfilled. We wonder why we are not spiritually healthy. Because we're not getting the nutrition from the Word of God that we need. You go back to 1 Timothy in chapter 4, continuing on. We've seen in verse 6 what it is to be a good minister. Really just obviously scratching the surface of this. But we need to move on to verses 7 and 8 and talking about godly exercise. I think it's interesting that really, if you want to physically be healthy, it's not a secret. Eat right, exercise. You don't need the, I remember all through, every year you come, there's the ab roller and there's the this and the that, and you got to do that. I mean, fine, if that works for you, that sort of thing, but basically it comes, you want to be in health. You want to be a healthy human being. And there's an importance to that. Nutrition. What are you eating? And are you moving?
Are you working out?
Are you exercising? Get into a form of exercise. Doesn't mean you have to go to the gym and be on a Schwarzenegger and I'll pump you up. I mean, no. But that you are what? That you're moving, you're doing things. Like you're working in the garden and that sort of thing, because, you know, I'm a great gardener via through my wife, Trish. We're one flesh, so I get all the credit for what she does gardening. All right? That sort of thing. You know, that sort of thing. But just moving, that you're active, that you're doing something. That's what healthy living. Well, the same thing works spiritually. Unfortunately, we have some Christians that are obese spiritually in a sense, that they're maybe getting fed the Word of God, but they're not exercising it. They're not doing anything with it. And so as we come to verses 7 and 8, that's what we're talking about, godly exercise. In verse 7, it says this, interesting enough, it says, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Remember, being nourished up in words of faith and good doctrine, that's the good, healthy food that we need to have. But you need to refuse the junk food of profane and old wives' fables, lying stories. It's not the first time that we see that. You go back to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 4. It says, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in what? In faith. So do. Remember, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Break it down very easy. Refuse the junk food, the bad doctrine, and make sure you are having a healthy diet of the words of faith and good doctrine, a healthy stuff. And once you have that, guess what? Make sure you start exercising that. Start using it in your life. That's what verse 7 is all about. And we can see the same thing in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. I won't have you turn there because we've seen it before, but what is that? It talks about Paul telling Timothy, hey, preach the word, be innocent in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all along suffering and doctrine. But verse 3 and 4 talks about what? Time's going to come when they know what? They don't want to hear sound doctrine. I don't want healthy food. Give me those fables. Give me that junk food. I like that. You ever wonder why healthy food is so expensive and junk food is so cheap? Why is that? I wonder why that is. I wonder what happened if we flip that around. That maybe, you know what? Yeah, I'd like to have those potato chips, but that's just too expensive. But man, this nice fried bread. What? That's the price for that? Ooh. I mean, I wonder why that is sometimes. I really wonder why that is. Not saying it's a conspiracy or anything like that, but I just wonder. Why is a lot of times the junk food cheaper? But what's good and healthy for you is more expensive. And then we wonder why we have a health crisis in the United States. And I'm only mentioning that because physical things teach us what? Spiritual truth. And there's a lot of churches that there might as well be a... I'm tired, so I gotta make sure my filter is on a little bit more. I gotta watch what I'm gonna say. But there are a lot of churches out there. You might as well have just been going to the vending machine instead of the water of the word. You're getting. I don't like Pepsi, so I'm gonna say Pepsi. I know there's Pepsi big down here, but you get Pepsi instead of water. What's Pepsi gonna do for you? What's Coke gonna do for you? What's any kind of sugary type of drink? What's that gonna do for you? It's not going to be healthy, it's not going to be good for you, you're going to still be thirsty. Instead of a nice cold drink of water. Alright? You know, and instead of getting, you know, a balanced diet as far as vegetables and protein and stuff like that, you know, you get the... I actually never had one of these, actually, but those Hot Pockets. You know, which I think tend to say it's really, really, what, hot on the outside, but it's still frozen on the inside, that sort of thing, you don't heat it up right. A lot of churches... You must be going to getting junk food. And wonder why Christians today are spiritually unhealthy. Well, that's why. It says it again, but refuse profane and old wives' fables and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. I want you to turn over to the book of Hebrews real quick in chapter 4. So we're in 1 Timothy, continue to travel to the right. I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 4, and we're going to look down in verses 14 through 16. Actually, scratch that. I gave you the wrong thing. Chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. Sorry about that. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. but exercising yourself unto godliness. Godliness means what? God-like. I mean, that's what the Word of God is there for, so that we are living our lives like God would have us lead it, that we're just like God in the sense. Godliness, God-likeness, right? That's how we need to exercise ourselves, by using the Word of God. Now notice what it says here in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. It says this, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God." The oracles of God, same thing as saying the words of God. "And are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat." Again, I've already talked about how the Word of God is compared to food. And he's going to define for you what milk is for as opposed to meat. Verse 13, it says this, "For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in a word of righteousness, for he is a babe." He's a babe in Christ, in a sense. I mean, he doesn't know much. A babe needs the milk. But once you've been going to adulthood, if you as a believer in Christ is reverting back to milk, that's a problem. Because what? You should be teaching. You should be able to teach somebody else the truth of the Word of God. And again, we're not talking about the pastors and the leaders of the church. We're talking everyone, every believer. All right? Should be ready and have the ability to teach the Word of God, being a good minister. Well, that means you need to get the nourishment of the Word of God and grow in there. He goes on and it says this in verse 14, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age." They've grown up. They've been nourished by the truth of the Word of God. It says, "Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." A babe has a hard time discerning what good and evil is because they're on milk. They're on the basics of the Word of God. But you need to grow to the place of being on strong meat, and you need to exercise the Word of God that you're given so that you're able to discern or judge what is good and what is bad. What is right, what is wrong. You got to be mature in that, but you got to allow that process of getting the nutrition of the Word of God and exercising yourself, actually doing it. Now, there's so many different examples I can give, but put it this way. I always had a desire for doing martial arts. All right. I just really never had the time or took the time. When I was a kid, I was involved in so many other things, and Boy Scouting and music and all that really occupied a lot of my time, obviously, with school. And so, but man, I'd watch the Kung Fu Theater and stuff like that, and you know, I was into it. Man, this looks cool. I didn't start martial arts until I was 20 years old at the church that Trish and I went to, that you know, we grew up in a sense, as far as ministry is concerned, and got ordained and all that. And so that's when I started. I was 20 years old when I started martial arts, you know. And the first time I started, it didn't last too long. I actually quit. And then I came back to it later, so forth and so on. But I could, you know, look at TV shows. I can look at how somebody does a kick and a punch and like that. But it would never do me any good if I didn't actually exercise myself to actually do that. And to continue to do that. Right, and that's what I ended up doing. When I went to Canada, I found a great organization to be a part of and to continue, and that's where I got my black belt, all my degrees of black belts and all that sort of stuff, and came back here and did that as a job actually for a while. And it's like, it was the repetition of going every day, getting these things down over and over and over and over again, right? Exercising myself and doing that. Folks, that is the same process that we as believers need to do. It's not enough just to understand the theory, so to speak, and get the Word of God. Okay, that's the first part, get the nutrition. But if you don't exercise yourself in the Word of God and actually applying it to your life, actually utilizing it, when the next trouble or situation, suffering, whatever comes along, and actually, because that's literally when the rubber meets the road, when you're actually going through something. Okay, the Word of God talks about this and going through trials and tribulations. Let me pray that. Like Kurt was talking about, His grace being sufficient. Alright? I mean, hey, that's where you're actually exercising yourself. You're actually using the nutrition from the Word of God that you're receiving as you spend time reading and studying in the Word of God. Not just hearing the preaching of the Word of God, but you on your own, at home, or whatever, is spending time getting the food of the Word of God and allowing God to instruct you and feed you, and actually putting it into practice. Exercise yourself. You go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Again, from verse 7, moving on to verse 8, it says, "But refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness." Again, we've already defined what godliness was in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, that message we had a few weeks ago. "Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." That's our gospel, the gospel of grace. All right, not the gospel to the Jews, to the kingdom, but the gospel of grace laid out for us by the Apostle Paul, the Apostle of the Gentiles. That's how we know what is godliness. Romans through Philemon. That's what teaches me how to be godly in this dispensation of grace and what God is requiring of me that I'm going to be held accountable for at the judgment seat of Christ. That's how I need to exercise myself. So, again, all the Word of God is for us. We talked about that. But the specifically that is to us, Romans through Philemon. Yes, I can learn from the book of Exodus. We did that all last year. But even in that, what do? We apply things to us out of our doctrine that's from Romans through Philemon. All right? And that's how I need to exercise myself. Get the nutrition of the Word of God, our doctrine, but exercise it. Actually put it into practice. You go on to verse 8. Finish up. It says this. It says, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come." So, the bodily exercise, the physical exercise, it does profit. But compared to what godliness can profit for all of eternity, what your physical exercise is only going to profit you little. But I will say this, it's kind of hard in the sense that maybe if you're not physically where you need to be, that can hinder what God wants you to do. God has given us one body. That's it. All right, and hopefully it'll last us for, 70 to 80 years is the average, as the Word of God lays out for us in Psalm 90. Hopefully it'll last me that long, maybe even longer than that. All right? But if I'm not doing things to try to keep myself healthy, then it's going to be a problem. Now, after I've really kind of healed from my knee surgery and stuff like that, it's like I've been able to get back to more full speed working out, and I'm having a great time, and I feel so much better than what I had in a long time. I mean, I have a daily, almost routine of what I do, both karate and both treadmill, that I sweat, I get after it, and I feel so much better, and I want to continue that trend. It feels good, but you know what? It's limited. It's only going to profit me in this life. And there's a good thing about that. But what's even more important is making sure I exercise myself as far as godliness is concerned, because it will not only profit me in this life now, but also in eternity. Now, I want you to see some things real quick, and we've got to finish up real quick. But I want you to actually go to the book of 3 John, almost at the end of your Bible. 3 John. Revelation is the last book in the Bible. If you go back from that, you have the book of Jude, and then you'll find 3 John. And I want you to look down at what it says in verse 2. 3 John, verse 2. It says this, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." That's an interesting desire that John has for the people that he's ministering to. Right? He said, I want you to physically prosper, in a sense. He says, I want you to be in good health, even like your soul is in good health. And so that's why you see, again, I know this is not and this is doctrine to us, but it's really the same thing in the sense that we're seeing now in 1 Timothy chapter 4. There is profit in having a healthy physical body, so that God can continue to use you on this planet to complete His purpose for you in this life. And John's like, man, I want you to be in health, even as your soul is healthy. Make sure physically you're healthy. And things, again, kind of go hand in hand. And that's really the reason why I got in karate, because it's such a good physical example of what I need to be doing spiritually. All right, again, I'm not taking martial arts to be able to go around and beat people up or anything like that by any stretch of the imagination. But it's a good picture of learning those things to be able what I need to do spiritually. Am I spiritually ready for the battles? Am I spiritually ready to deal with seducing spirits and doctrine of the devil, junk food that's going to come my way? Am I ready to hold those things off because I know how to fight according to the truth of the Word of God? I want you to go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4 again, in verse 8. It says, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness, godlikeness, is profitable unto all things." What is profitable is not just financially what's profitable. That's not what's being talked about here. We'll deal with that, Lord willing, when we get to 1 Timothy chapter 6. We'll talk about dealing with riches and all that sort of stuff. When God is talking about what is profitable, He's not talking about your finances. He's not talking about your 401k or something like that, your retirement, your Roth fund and all that. He's not talking about that. He's talking about what can be obtained at the judgment seat of Christ. Is it going to be works of gold, silver, and precious stones? Something that will be rewarded, something that would abide the fire? Or is your Christian walk and life going to be wood, hay, and stubble? Well, if you're feeding off junk and you're not exercising yourself under godliness, then you're on your way to having nothing but wood, hay, and stubble, and going to lose out on being able to reign. That's not going to be profitable. All right? What's a candy bar profitable for, physically speaking? I mean, yeah, it'll give you some enjoyment. But usually, what does sugar do to you? It'll give you a high for like 20 minutes, and then it'll drop your energy level lower than what you were before you had that candy bar. It's literally profitable for nothing. And that's how Satan works, right? I'm not saying, Pastor Charles is a good Hershey candy bar. No, you want to have a, go for it. All right? Moderation, that sort of thing. But my point is, what's a better choice? Hershey bar? Carrots. Nice juicy steak. Get some protein. What's going to be profitable for you? Well, what's going to be profitable for you spiritually? Being the truth of the Word of God. It will profit you in this life now and how you're walking in this life now, and also in eternity future. Being able to rule and reign with Christ throughout all eternity, throughout all this universe. Man, that is profitable. Last reference I want you to go to, Titus chapter 3. Again, we're in 1 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy is the next book to the right, and then Titus. Titus chapter 3 and verse 8. Being profitable. You've already seen where the Word of God is profitable. We saw that in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Well, we see the same thing in Titus chapter 3 and verse 8. It says this: "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly." Does that sound familiar? Paul is telling Titus the same thing he's telling Timothy. Remind people all the time, because we forget. We forget. Alright? All the time. "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God," salvation, "might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men." We can literally say those good works are the same thing about what? Exercising yourself to godliness. A good work. Doing work is what? That's exercise. It's a form of exercise. And so it's not meant that you just come to church and just hear a message and then do nothing with it. You see, it's bad getting junk food, but it's also not that great of a thing if you're actually getting good food, but you're not exercising yourself. It's not doing you any good. It's not doing you any profit. You actually have to exercise. Put it to use. Like, I get it. Sometimes it's like, you may say, "Well, I don't feel like doing that." When I get up, especially, and the exception of Sunday, usually I don't work out on Sundays, all right? You know, especially in the weekends that I still got to go back to work like I do tonight. But my routine is, especially if earlier in the week, I come home from work, I go to bed, I get up usually around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and one of the first things I do is hit the treadmill. I don't even think about it. Because if I think about it, I'm tired. Pretty nice to go back to bed or just kind of chill out for the day. I don't give my flesh time to talk me out of it. I will go to my treadmill, and usually when I'm working, it's a 20-minute thing. I'll put it on incline 5 every 5 minutes, work it all the way up to 15. I'm dripping with sweat afterwards. After that, I do some stuff in my crotch. And then I get cleaned up, and then I do what I need to do and get ready to go to work. I don't give myself time to talk myself out of it. And it's fine to think, well, you know what? I'm just too tired. I don't feel like getting into work today. Don't let your flesh talk you out of a good spiritual meal. Get that meal. Get in the Word of God. And then once you get in the Word of God, what do you need to do? Work it. Exercise. Use it. And it's a cycle that needs to always happen on a daily basis. Time in a Word, apply the Word. Get fed in a Word, apply it. Because it's going to be profitable for you. And as we've been talking about ministry, being addicted to ministry, it says good works that are profitable unto men. In other words, that the work that you do, the nutrition that you get from the Word of God, you exercise it, you're working it, it's going to be profitable not only for you, but to be able to minister to somebody else and make it profitable for them as well. That's what we're talking about, folks. It really is easy. It really is an easy thing to understand. What this Christianity is all about, what our, you know, what it's supposed to be in our relationship with Christ. Every day, let's eat some good food. Every day, let's exercise that food. Let's exercise the Word of God. Because that's going to be profitable for me, and it's also going to be profitable to the people that are around me. Now ask me questions. How do you deal with this? Why does it seem like you have a peace even in the midst of the tribulations that you're going through? Well, let me give you something that the Lord worked in my life. It really is that simple. I'm not saying it's not going to be always easy all the time, but understanding what we need to do as believers in Christ is simple. It is simple. And a lot of times we don't do it because we let our flesh come up with all kinds of excuses of why we can't. Instead of trusting God, why we can. If we would get that down in the body of Christ, man, that might make all the difference in the world, not just in our own lives, not just in the body of Christ, but maybe even having an impact on this world that we're supposed to be a light to. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I don't even begin to come to a place where we've plumbed the depths of understanding these verses today and how they can be applied. Lord, it's like some days are better days of working out physically than others. Sometimes I think when I preach the Word of God, there are some days that are better than others. But Lord, it's not about me. It's not about my ability or skills or lack thereof or what I think I can do. It's about Your Spirit taking Your Word and accomplishing the purpose that You have, Lord, and I pray that that would be the case. Lord, this is an incredible, incredible passage of Scripture. It really is. And I hope and pray that every one of us that has heard this would meditate and think on it. It's like that, sometimes I think of a nice, juicy steak that each bite, I want to savor it. I want to kind of keep it in my mouth for a while, get all the flavor, and then before I swallow it. And then again, it's going to do the purpose that that meat will do in providing nutrition for me. Lord, I would pray that that would be the case with Your Word, that we would just chew on it, get all the flavor, get everything that we can out of this message, all the nutrients that it has, and that we would not be lazy, but that we would exercise ourselves with the nutrition of the Word that You've given us, because that's going to be what's going to be profitable in this life and that which is to come, not only for us, but for those around us that we have the opportunity to minister to as well. Let this message be a reality, Lord. I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.